Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. You are flipping welcome. Nice one for joining us. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I am.
And Chris is here.
I saw a man on a penny farthing on the way here.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, fascinating. In the middle of London. Really random. Just cycling down the road.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's
there you go. Good.
Was he? I always think someone...
What Jenny was like.
If someone is riding a penny farthing, they should be in a tweed suit.
Yeah, with a sort of walrus moustache. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And were
Agreed.
They?
I didn't see his face.
Full Adidas tracksuit.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Burberry hat.
Well, Chris, it takes a certain personality to do something like that.
It does, brother.
We all have a personality. Some of us are more extroverted, perhaps like that gentleman. It was a gentleman.
It was a gentleman.
Some of us are more introverted. Some are more emotional. Others, not so much. Personality tests, of course, have been around for years. And they aim to give us a better insight into who we are and perhaps even why we work in certain ways. So then, gang, do you find personality tests helpful?
So I have had a few of them done, like through when I've been working in different places. Mm-hmm. And it always felt a little bit like a bit of a bullshitty way to spend a few hours. But, you know, you'd always be like, oh, yeah, sweet, spend a few hours outside the office. Mm. And I have always found them very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know how much of them is just... Is there a name for it where it's sort of like you read into it what you want to read into it?
Like a placebo almost.
Yeah.
No, that's not
self-fulfilling prophecy, no.
No, that there's like, oh, I think there's like a word for it, but it's where like, you know, like it's very general personality traits.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
Like,
you...
Oh, that's so me.
Yeah.
But we had the Myers-Briggs personality.
That's a very popular one, yeah.
Yeah. So we had that done. And I actually did find it quite helpful, and it did illuminate some things about myself that I didn't realise. So one of it was that I'm an introvert. And I think because I think I'm, you know, relatively friendly, correct me if I'm wrong about that.
What's that to do with friendliness, introvert and extrovert?
I find it quite easy to chat to people and that kind of thing. I think, and people always said to me, oh, you're an extrovert. But once I started reading into it, I was like, oh, no, I absolutely am an introvert. I spend a lot of time by myself. I need to be alone to recharge. And it actually really helped me identify that. So I think that actually, yeah, I did.
Go personality test.
Why
did
so that's it. I've answered the question. Good day
to you. You can go home now. Chris and I will take it from here.
Why did they do it at work?
I think it was under, because it was in a very, very, very large international media company. And I think it was part of, you know, understanding yourself and how
it
you
like
work.
A staff away day and you're cut
yeah
yourself.
Well, we did get to leave the office, like we literally went like two streets over to a different office, but
exciting.
But you know, to get out,
it's like
and
a school trip,
they put on like the little breakfast and that was pretty good. We got a free like pencil and notepad out of it.
Did they like link it in with HR as well and kind of like how to form teams?
Yes, I think they did. I think it was how to work with people of different personality types, which was quite helpful, and it made me realize kind of like things about different people where I was like, yeah.
Do you forget it after a week though and just think, oh yeah, that person's annoying and forget why?
Maybe a little bit.
I did one at work as well once, but it wasn't Myers-Briggs. It was, I can't remember what it was called now, but it would divide...
Was it a colour code one?
I did that as well.
Did you?
Well,
yeah.
No, what's that one?
Oh, go on, Chris, yeah, you were saying.
I was going to say it was a work-based one. So it would kind of say, this is a resource person and this is a networker and this is the office carer and things like that as well. Which I did find really interesting for the office, because what it told me was that I was in the right position for my job, which the boss looked very relieved afterwards. So it'd be like, you're really good at networking. And my job at the time was external relations with the UN. So that was good because I'm supposed to network.
Yeah.
But
that's
so I found that really, really useful, but it wasn't the Myers-Briggs stuff.
Oh, it's interesting you say that. So when we did the Myers-Briggs one...
Sorry, I did remember. It's called the Belbin test.
Oh.
Belbin test. I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we'll look it up. When we did the Myers-Briggs one, the big boss was also there and he did it. And we realised that I think there are about 6 or 7 people in a room of about 20, 25 people were all the exact same type as him.
So he recruited people
unknowingly exactly like himself.
Oh, fascinating. Which so thought, it just meant that there was probably a lot of blind spots in the organisation because you all think the same way.
Which, and I was sort of that I think I was the opposite.
The antithesis.
Yes. Yeah,
the token other.
That's, oh.
The nemesis.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm anyone's nemesis.
So what's, well.
What's this colour one?
To be honest, I'm not sure. But
I don't
you,
know what it's called.
Instead of, because with Myers-Briggs, you get four letters, don't you?
Yeah.
To determine which one of the 16 personality types you are. The colour one, it's if you're more... I don't know if you're more that colour than it reveals. It's more the sort of...
It's just a different label on
it,
stuff.
I can tell you, it was like... So there was red.
Yeah.
Red is like, get it done. I just want to see it done. Let's just sort it.
Okay.
Yellow is
like those people.
Friendly and just happy. Green was...
I'd rather be yellow, by the way.
Yeah. I can't remember what green was. And then blue was like, give me the details.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
So, and like, but actually it meant that red became a bit of an insult. About people, it was like, oh, he's been a bit red today.
It's true, isn't it? Because I remember doing a Myers-Briggs one years ago, and a friend of mine, you know, we all did these things, and his one, his one sounded better.
Yeah. Yes, some of them do.
Yeah, and he said, look, I just, you know, it's not a competition. It's not about, it's not a question of who's got a better one, you know. I know which one I'd rather have, but you know.
So I guess, do you then start to want to be a type of personality test? So if, you know, this is, if you hear that CEOs of companies are this type of personality test, then do people kind of want to play up to that?
But
or
think,
even do the test in a way that they know will
manipulate
the answer?
But can you change your personality?
Well, this is it. I think that...
It's answering the test though, isn't it?
So it is, but I don't think... I think these test results can change as you get older and have different experiences and all the rest of it. I mean, but it's funny when you started the chat there about... You doing it at work because various companies use personality tests, as you've testified to help determine who's the right person for the job. And I mean,
I would do that.
Well, research shows that if an employee is placed in a position that doesn't match their personality, it often leads to lower engagement, which means the research shows that 21% lower productivity. I don't know how you measure that. I know there are ways, but all a bit general perhaps. But the bigger one is about 45% higher turnover. Because if you're unhappy in your role, you think, how many times have people said, this job's not for me?
Yeah.
And obviously replacing staff, you don't want a high turnover of staff unless you're... I can't think of an example, but generally speaking, companies don't want that, do they?
I find them helpful because I know what personality I am, which is I like to have a bit of a bigger vision type stuff. So I therefore know that I need completer finishes with me all the time because I like people to get the job
done. So you started naming personalities up there, completer finishes, which people can guess what that is.
Exactly.
But where did you get that from?
Probably the Balbin test thing.
Yeah, we see, there you go.
Yeah.
So you obviously do find personality tests helpful because you're using a particular character.
I would recruit on just as much on kind of the emotional intelligence, things like that. Obviously, you need ability, and obviously, it depends on your sector. You can't do a personality test if you're looking for a doctor. He needs to know, or she needs to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, if I'm looking for somebody who, say, does admin, I don't want a dreamer. I want someone who's going to have a list of things and will get the job done. And some people, like my wife, is a completer finisher all day long. So I would do the opposite to your boss, which is I wouldn't recruit people like me because nothing would get done. I would recruit a variety of people.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
What about would you go as far as Ramon Domenech?
Go on.
The former France manager got them to the World Cup final in 2006. There was reports that he would use star signs to pick his squad.
No.
Well, you say Ramon. That about star signs, because obviously, like, again, this is kind of tying into what we were saying before about people, I think, read them and... Because I think they're a load of rubbish. People read
How
them.
How can you say?
I know. I'm sorry. Sorry, I don't want to alienate anyone.
Are you suggesting for the older
don't
listeners amongst us that Russell Grant wasn't being serious?
But like, firstly, I think people do. You read them and you go, oh, yeah, I have. It'll say something like, oh, you've been having a bad time recently. People are like, yeah, I've had a bit of a bad time. But there was a thing, I think it was over in the US, about... an advert for an apartment. They were looking for a housemate.
Yeah.
And it said, you know, it was something like, no Geminis.
Well, you just and avoid those.
They were actually
anyway.
Saying, we just don't, we are not having you in this house if you're a certain kind of star sign.
Does that break a law? Because it should do.
I think they were trying to figure out if it did.
Golly.
But I think that is because I think star signs and astrology is nonsense. But personality tests, some people think they're nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same though, is it?
No, it's not defined about the month you were born.
Yeah, exactly. A personality, I mean, they are sort of a bit different. But with Myers-Briggs, the personality test of Myers-Briggs is probably the most popular one. if people have heard of it. The majority of the Fortune 100 companies in America, now Fortune 100, as it suggests, is the 100 companies with the biggest sort of revenue or turnover that year or something like that. I'm not business-minded, so forgive me if that's slightly wrong, but you get the picture. The Myers-Briggs personalities is used by the majority of those companies to help find new employees.
Well, they're idiots. Because Myers-Briggs has been debunked.
Go on, then.
Yes. So apparently, a lot of it was originally based on Carl Jung's ideas.
A lot about Jungian theory.
It was pre-scientific in terms of it wasn't based... His book wasn't based on empirical evidence and data and studying of people. Mm-hmm. And there was two
red flags then.
There was two
okay.
Two writers in 1943. One was a mystery novelist. The other one was a magazine writer. And they basically decided one of them had read Carl Jung's book and had decided that they could come up with their own idea. So Jung had 8 personality types. They doubled it to 16.
Was one Myers and one's Briggs?
It was Catherine Cook Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers.
And Mike Myers.
Oh. Yeah.
And then they basically, so based on somebody's non-scientific ideas, these two unqualified writers decided to publish a book in 1944. And that's what apparently it's all based on.
Interesting. Well, we should say that the Myers-Briggs personality test, if for those who don't know it, it identifies extroversion against introversion, extroverts, introverts, intuition versus sensing, thinking versus feeling, judging versus perceiving. And as I say, it's an indicator, it's often used by employers to decide if a candidate would be a good cultural fit for a company and if they can sort of transition into the team nicely. Basically, they're trying to determine if you're a dickhead or not.
Yeah. I say it's
no one wants to hire a dickhead.
No, absolutely not. Unless they're fellow dickheads and they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah, that's true. A team full of dickheads.
But it's interesting, so just to finish on that, Chris, that that Dr. Jung, the man you just mentioned, whose work inspired the test, said after, there is no such thing as a pure extrovert or pure introvert. Such a person would be in the lunatic asylum.
Yeah. Well, because when you do it, you get scored on each one. So it's like, I was a mild introvert, which I was like, yeah, makes sense.
He also said, everyone is an exception to the rule.
So, is that helpful?
Yeah, there is no rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I say that they're idiots for doing that, but I did a load of personality tests before we came on, and I definitely think I'm an INFP, and I think that that does describe me quite well. So of all the other ones, I did the Enneagram and some other ones like that.
Oh, yeah, I actually think
the Myers-Briggs one, I read that and I'm like, I see more of myself in that than I did the other things.
Well, the thing is fascinating. Yeah, I did a bit of Myers-Briggs thing when I was working for a company. Oh, I forget now.
You've got to be an E.
Yeah, definitely E.
ENTP? I don't know.
ESTP maybe or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the performer, I think
of course it is.
Well, there you go. So it's sort of somewhat helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I do find it sort of a little bit interesting with those kind
but
of
going,
things.
But going to Sarah's first point about that you discovered that you were an introvert because of that test.
Yeah, yeah. And it helped me to understand why do I need to spend so much time alone? And it's like, well, that's how I recharge.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Yeah, you see, I get recharged with people.
If you're left alone for too long,
I turn
like a puppy scratching at the door.
Yeah, have you seen the film Joker?
What personality?
But you see how he came alive when he was with those people.
He's fulfilled his destiny.
Yes, exactly. But it's funny you mentioned astrology. In the New York Times, which is quite recent, this article was entitled "Personality Tests Are the Astrology of the Office."
Mm. Okay.
So they're clearly...
I don't think they're as... All right, they might not be empirically sound and, you know, properly scientifically researched, but I don't think there is such a load of woo.
No.
As literally being like, well, I was born on February 3rd or whatever.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Well, I found it interesting when I did the Myers-Briggs one when I was at an office, and the guy who led the sort of course, if you like, it was a one-off, he was great, and he stressed these are indicators.
Yeah. Yes, yeah,
these
yeah.
are not, this is not set in stone, and there may be little inaccuracies. These are just indicators. But it really was fascinating. This was probably about, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. But it was the first time I realised why, or just, not why, just people are different.
Mm-hmm.
And he was using a lot of office-based examples.
Yeah.
And so you'd say, right, if this statement resonates with a group, or if you feel this goes for you, stand in that corner of the room, and then over there you stand in that corner. We do that. And he said, well, this corner of the room, when you write an email to somebody, you're straight in there. You're like, hi, please can you get this to me first thing tomorrow or something. Whereas this part of the room, you would think that was very rude. You would think, well, why not fluff it up a bit, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, where's the kind going? Of hi, hope how you had doing? A nice day.
Exactly. But of course, the other corner are saying, well, that's a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Why are you bothering with that? And the other corner are saying, oh, you mean old sods, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think as well on that, there's some aspects of gender as well. Because there's this thing, isn't it, about how there's a Chrome extension you can get. There's this thing about how women always use loads of exclamation marks in their emails to try and, like you said, fluff
lighten
them up.
It, yeah.
And you can get a Chrome extension,
right?
I think, to stop you adding them. And there's also one to stop you saying, just. Because every email I send, just wondering if you got round to looking at that report.
And you think that's gender-based?
Yeah, I think it is. Like, obviously, that's not an absolute statement at all. I mean, but I do think women tend to do it more because you don't want to be
bossy. Well, a controversial man said that women are nicer than men. I mean, you know, I don't want to sort of
in this group, I don't know, I wouldn't like to.
Yeah, that's not true.
Well, in this group or generally?
In this group.
Yeah, maybe in this group, I don't know, yeah. But it is concerning. I mean, Dr. Grant, a professor of the organisational psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, said there's a concerning lack of evidence for the Myers-Briggs test accuracy. And he said, the Myers-Briggs is like asking people, what do you like more, shoelaces or earrings? You tend to infer that there's going to be an aha kind of answer, but it's not a valid question.
But I'm not sure that's true, though, because the questions are more like how well do you deal with conflict, which like is an actual valid thing to ask someone.
Yeah.
And is an actual thing that you might come across in the workplace, as opposed to earrings or shoelaces. Like that is irrelevant.
And it's interesting as well, because there are other elements. Like, I don't think any personality test is all-encompassing, isn't it? And we're not going to talk about it too much on this show, but then there's other things like love languages, about how one gives and receives love best, and there's five different ways. So, you know, you throw that into the mix as well.
Yeah.
And it always is changing, and you know, as you said, your gender, your
past experience.
Yes, exactly.
What you're currently going through, yeah. Although,
and as you said, like, I do agree, I think you're personality type changes over the years.
Yeah, I don't think it changes enormously if things are going well. I understand if there's some sort of tragic event, you can become a bit of a recluse or whatever, but that sort of suggests that something's gone wrong.
That's not going to like absolutely turn your personality on its head, though, is it? No, it's just going to change slightly how you...
Because as you said, you as an extrovert, you feel charged and really happy by being around people.
Yes.
Now, I don't know how that would fundamentally change through trauma and things like that.
Yeah, I think the trauma could almost sort of put you off that and lead to kind of, you know, a sort of an unhelpful scenario or situation or whatever, and perhaps depression and blah, blah, blah. But that's not pure personality. That's just unfortunate circumstances that led you to that. Whereas actually, if you were to kind of, I don't know, I don't want to be sound insensitive, although we haven't sort of named anything.
Sorry, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, please. Yeah, yeah. Please do.
I'll push the klaxon.
But yeah, but if one does suffer some sort of trauma, if one then moves on from it or kind of gets over it, or it gets sorted in some way, then you would think that sort of one would resume to being a bit more oneself, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. I found the finding out that I'm same as you, slightly introverted, really, really helpful for myself. But I only think I found that out when I was in my early 30s. I just used to think I was a bit miserable.
You know,
after a long week at work, all I wanted to do was stay in with a loved one and watch a movie, eat pizza, drink a bottle of wine. And I remember dating someone.
That sounds great.
Between two of you.
Okay.
But the person I was dating at the time, all they'd want to do after a hard week is go out and party. And I used to think, I'm just miserable, or I'm not enough.
No, I thought I was
boring. But actually, it's nothing to do with that. No, it's just I was tired and I needed to recharge by being at home.
It's because you're both losers.
No, the winners are out,
you know what I'm talking about, didn't you?
I thought I was boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do this. And then it was like, oh, wait, I'm not boring. I mean, I am boring too.
No.
We've ascertained in previous episodes. No. But
I think is it an omnivert, which is probably better describes your personality type, which is
that?
It's where
only
you are.
Eat meat? What?
Yeah, it sounds like that. It's where you're introvert, but you can have extroverted moments. So in the moment, you're fine. So I know you guys have led famous quizzes before and things like that.
Oh.
So like in the moment, famous you could look like an extrovert, but actually you'll recover from that by being on your own, as well.
Yes.
I know for a fact Marcus can carry on talking to people till 3-6 in the morning. Like, you love it.
Yeah.
You are the last one to leave.
I do. I mean, I was, you know, had more energy in my younger days, as we all did. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, but no one, as Dr. Jung said, no one is completely one or the other.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that because, yeah, sometimes you do think, actually, I just want to moment on my own here, sort of thing. But you're right. I think it's, again, it's indicators, general patterns. I have to say that one of the sort of personality, what would you sort of brackets or whatever, is something that Sarah, well, you go to a different church now, but Sarah, and my vicar, the most reverend John Peters came up with, and I actually, I have to be honest with you, I think these are excellent.
I've heard it for years now. I still can't get by. Go on, explain. I think he's spot on.
He says there's three basic categories of personality.
A Trinitarian of him.
Sticking with the eulogy, with the faith. He said you have truth tellers, carers, and adventurers.
Go on.
And you're very much two of those. So you'd be, I don't know, truth telling care or a caring adventurer or an adventuring truth teller, whichever one you want to put first. And so you'll be light in the third one. So you're two out of the three primarily, but again, only primarily, not completely. So the truth tellers, as it suggests, all about the truth. So John often uses the analogy of if you're going to the cinema, say, someone phones you up and says, right, there's a group of us going to the cinema. Do you fancy it? Well, the carers are all about people. Yep, the herd is moving. I'm going where the people
are. Just about being with them.
Yes, exactly.
Community.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, whatever's going on. I don't need to know what film it is. I'll be there. That's because I want to be. It's almost a bit of a fear of missing out. There's an element of that, perhaps. Truth tellers would be, okay, what time are we watching the film? Okay, because if we go at 7, then we can drink, you know, we can go for a drink after. Or which film's on? Actually, this film's got a better
much
review.
Much more fact-based.
Mm. Fact-based.
And details. Mm-hmm. And
exactly. The adventurers... Or
they're in the film.
Yeah. The adventurers, I would sort of humbly suggest, are all about themselves in that they would say, well, who's going? Like, as in, what's in it for me? Have I seen the film? Do I want to see the film? The group is of no consequence to that person.
It's about their personal adventure.
Exactly, and... What adventure is this? Is this going to be boring? Because I've seen the film. I don't care who's going. And then you go, oh, but is there someone I quite fancy going?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, well, therefore there's a reason for me to go kind of thing.
So what would you be?
I'm a caring truth teller or a truth telling carer, whatever you want.
Is that why you just demonise the adventurers?
Yes.
Because that's not you.
Yeah, completely. The people that would probably rub me out the wrong way would be truth-telling adventurers.
Because nightmare.
Not being a carer, not caring about sort of people. Obviously, they do care about people. I don't want to... Do you see what I mean? Again, they're indicators.
It's not their
general,
primary driving
exactly,
force.
But you need those people. But those people tend to be, and I bet your boss, Sarah, you said at the start of this, when your boss was a certain personality type and there were 7 or 8 people.
Adventurer.
I bet they're truth-telling adventurers.
100... Yeah. Yes, yeah,
so they
absolutely
tend to be quite pioneering types.
Yeah.
I'm charging ahead,
yeah,
hopefully behind you know me, but I'm gone anyway.
Well, you need
I literally think I once had a conversation with him where he basically said those exact same things.
Well, you need
and
those
he's
type
never
of...
heard the John Peters Trinity.
Ah, there you go. But you need those type of people because they're the people who tend to be the pioneers or the business people who get stuff done in a way. And they're the
they're
people
ahead
that
of the
would,
game.
Yeah, well, they would tend to be people who think, we have to make this decision for the good of this, even though a small amount of people might get hurt or this, that, and the other.
Mm.
But that's where
that's
the tension...
That's absolute anathema to me.
Yeah.
I can't bear
that. But that's where the tension comes in because the carers, whether they be caring truth tellers or caring adventurers, would be worried about people. Which is a good thing, but sometimes you know, tough decisions and certain things need to be made. I'm not suggesting any.
So Winston Churchill would have been an adventurer because he would sacrifice Coventry. So he's like, for the greater good of the country, he let Coventry get bombed in the war.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an extreme example.
I like that
example.
Some people use the cinema, some people use World War II,
But the fact that he gets to the top is probably testament to the fact that he's not a carer.
Yeah,
like I would argue most people. In fact, I think that they didn't they, in the UK? There was a look at certain government officials and they studied their personality types. There was a lack of carers in there.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, well, certainly in the current climate, At the time of recording, no one's lost their job. but it could happen, of course.
It's such a shame that that couldn't be charted over history, because actually you feel like at some moments in history, people were driven by the care of society, whether it was the Booths, you know, who set up things like the Salvation Army, which is all driven by, you know, helping people off the streets.
But they might not be carers, though.
No, but they're great, good.
No, but they might not be. They might see they see a need and they go, right, well, we'll try and we'll go and look after that need. So I'm not trying to paint that carers are better. I mean, I am.
You are.
Because I'm a carer.
Exactly. No, but I'm, but it's not kind of, again, these are indicators and general things. It doesn't, carers can be awful people as well, quite clearly. Yeah. You know, I mean, and again, you're always going to be two. So, but you can, a caring adventurer.
Yeah.
Is another category, of course, but a caring truth teller can, you know, I know one or two of them are absolute nightmares, you know.
And so, Sarah, you thought you were the same category?
Yeah, I reckon so. And that fits in with the kind of the other personality tests I've done.
Yeah.
Which is why it kind of, this is where I think there is something to be said about them, because I'm not getting different results for each one I do. Mm-hmm. They all match up.
Yeah. So what would you say, Chris, what you are? You're definitely an adventurer.
Yeah. I'd say care as well. I do care about
you do.
People's you are
okay. Again, you if you're not, if you're a truth telling adventurer, it doesn't mean to say you don't care about people.
What really pains me is the thought of people being lonely. Yeah. So like, it really is. Like
I think that's caring.
Yeah. So we've had a couple of New Year's parties driven by the fact that I hate the thought that some of my friends don't have anywhere to go on New Year's. Aww. So it'd be things like that. Or,
yeah, but I'm not. Is that caring or is that? No, I'm on the fence, but I'm sort of slightly more towards you being a truth-telling adventurer.
Yeah.
Because again, if someone phones you up and says, right, the group is doing this, are you going, yeah, great, I'm there?
Yeah. No, I'm not like that, am I?
No.
No, I'm more like, I'll see. Well, also my diary's booked up for 3 months.
No, but you would say, oh, who's going? Or blah, blah, blah. And then if I said, oh, but such and such is from out of town, and you're thinking, ah, oh, I'd want to see them.
Yeah.
Then bang, whereas it's immaterial if the group's there or not.
Yeah.
So I think actually you're an adventuring truth teller or truth telling adventurer.
Oh, yeah. Sounds harsh,
but I
take
hate them.
Yeah, you hate me.
but it's important that you have different types. But I honestly think that categorization of personality types, because there's so much room in between each category.
I think that's why I don't like it. It feels ambiguous. But maybe that's what makes me a truth teller.
We are ambiguous, aren't we?
Yeah, but
I want the facts.
But I like the fact that things are more specific and accurate. Probably why I wouldn't mind a Myers-Briggs, because there's 16 categories and you can really hone in and go, that one thing best describes me.
Sure. But I think that some people get put off, don't they? Because they think, well, hang on, because it's setting itself out to say, this is you, if something's not quite right. And as Sarah said, you can read into it sort of what you want. Whereas I find this, because again, I don't have time to suddenly have all 16 personalities in my pocket and go, right, what is this person doing? And I might not be able to figure them out. But
how
with
uncaring
this,
not to give people time.
Indeed. But with this, with the truth tellers, carers and adventurers, I think it gives you enough of a picture generally of where they're coming from, whether they're going to write or whether they're going to be more direct in their approach or more kind of friendly with their email or whatever it may be. But it does give a little bit of room for an introvert, an extrovert, or that kind of thing.
That Chrome extension you're talking about, wouldn't it be brilliant if it came through and it actually flagged up the email is from this type of person? And then you could immediately go, oh, yeah, I need to respond
like,
this.
I can see why they've written
exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to take that offensively because that's just the way that they communicate. That'd be amazing.
That's what I'm going to take that on Dragon's Den.
Yeah, you should do.
Yeah.
So then, in summary, do you think they're helpful? Soon?
I actually think they are. The one and only thing to go by, but I do think they can be helpful.
Christopher.
I do. I find them helpful, not because they point out where I'm lacking, but actually I found it really helpful to get to know me more, and then I'm more comfortable in my own skin. Like, that's just the way I'm wired. Mm. That's okay.
Do you think people can use it as a bit of an excuse? Ah, sorry, I'm rude because the personality test.
Yeah, well, my brother-in-law, who probably doesn't even listen, but he has severe adult ADHD, and he's constantly like, it's not my fault, it's my condition, like all the time. So I'm sure people can do.
The ultimate thing I heard about that was years ago when Billy Connolly, I think he was doing a tour of Australia or something, and he started telling this story of how his wife went to see, I think it was his wife, she went to see some slightly weird and wonderful person in terms of astrology or personality. It was more the astrology end of the personality, all that kind of stuff. And she and obviously Billy Connolly was ridiculing it, you know, but his wife went along to see, and he started sort of speaking to, I think, Pamela Stevenson, who's Billy Connolly's wife, and said, "Your husband talks for a living, is that right?" And she goes, yeah, that's right. And he goes, okay. And he says a few other things. And she's saying this to Billy Connolly. And he's kind of laughing. And then she says, he would have been a musician. And Billy Connolly, he played in a band. He wanted to be. Yeah. He would have been a musician had Saturn not got in the way.
And so, what a shame. Billy,
he's saying if he's playing a banjo or whatever he's playing, hits a bum note, he just goes, Saturn.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that. Sorry, I'm late for work. Mercury's in retrograde.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Deary me. So yeah, I think they're sort of, hold it lightly, people.
Yeah.
I think they
don't
think
let it limit you.
No, yeah. Certainly not. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Do follow us on Insta or Twitter. At AQQAPod. I thought I was going to do the email address, which was called show@AQQAPod. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.